All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Ideas Radio, this is Brilliant Ideas, and the crowd just goes wild every Saturday morning. Good morning, my sidekick, my good buddy, Brian the Winesar, a.k.a. Miles.
How are you, yes, Brian? Thank you for that, Jack. Good morning, how are you two?
Doing great, and the other
good
one
morning.
Just joined us. Hello, other sidekick, Laurie, the Food News Jersey style girl.
Hello there.
All right, Brian.
Oh, Brian.
We got to start the show because anybody who has seen my page on Facebook has seen a little spat going on between yours truly, the Honorable Brilliant Ideas, and Brian the Wine Czar. Sorry, all right, dude, I got to get this straight. Yesterday, I posted an article about the 10-year anniversary of the movie Sideways, and then after thinking about it for a little while, like 3.2 seconds, I said, geez, Brian and I are a lot like Miles and Jack in that movie in a very similar way, and then you just went off. What the heck? What's wrong with you, dude?
Hey, you know what? Everybody has the right to go off once in a while, and I will say something on the air. If people don't like my opinion, they're welcome to call the number. Shall I repeat it? 714-242-5272. Call it. Tell me you don't like my opinion. No,
yes,
I went off.
Oh, hey, if you call in and yell at Brian, I'll give you a free t-shirt.
There you go. Anyway, I look, I went off because I had a bad day yesterday and it was time to blow off some steam, and that's okay, you know. So, in going off, I hope you realize that I threw you a compliment and I let you know that I actually value our friendship more than I think the friendship between Miles and Jack, because Jack, to me, was a complete ass and Miles was a complete loser. So I don't think either of us are either of those things, and I think we value our friendship better.
Yes, we do. And it was actually, I wasn't meaning it literally. I thought there's a lot of similarities. And here's how I put it. I told Laurie this last night. I said, oh, Brian, he's upset with me. But it's like this. You're a lot different than I am. You're a wine person who knows a lot about wine. So is Miles. And I'm more known as the, everybody thinks I am this, what would you call it? A kind of a playboy asshole. I guess. Is that what you would call it, Laurie?
All right, wait. We can just get rid of the playboy part.
So Miles and Jack were a lot like that. It would be like me saying you and I are like Fred Flintstone and Barney. We are a lot like Fred Flintstone and Barney, but we don't drive cars and pedal with our feet.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
the amount that I drive my car every day, I might be pedaling with my feet.
So anyway, I have to get some things straight. So you did not like the movie Sideways.
Okay, I'll tell you why I didn't like the movie. First of all, and again, you know, if you don't like my opinion, well, that's fine. You can call in and yell at me, but Grill will give you a free T-shirt, or you can call and yell at me, and Grill won't give you a free T-shirt. But the point is that I didn't like the movie. I don't particularly care for Paul Giamatti, and I didn't think from an acting standpoint that it was a great movie. And being in the wine industry, that movie was, you know, is basically put in place to help promote a particular drink.
Correct.
You know how people latch on to trends.
It did.
Yes,
did
it
you
did.
Read the article? They,
yes,
they
it
had
did.
Tons of business because of that.
Yes, but people latch on to trends. You know, if tomorrow we tell everybody to drink Pinot Grigio, then that's going to be the thing. You know, right now it's Malbec and it's still Malbec. You know, before Pinot Noir, it was Shiraz. You know, so they're you know, people get brainwashed by these things and it becomes a trend.
Yeah, but see,
and it does help business.
I disagree.
I thought the movie
was a good movie. Was it one of the best acting movies? No. I like Paul, by the way. I think he did great as Miles.
I did too.
But I think it opened the eyes to people who may, like me, who are not much of a wine person. I mean, yeah, we drink wine, but it brought out, you know, the other side of it. And like Jack, he learned from Miles, and Miles learned also from Jack. And I thought it was actually a well-done movie that helped the wine industry and made it kind of less, I think it made it less snobby the way I looked at the movie. But I enjoyed the movie. I wish they'd come out with the sequel to it. They've written two more books, but I don't think there's going to be a movie. But I liked the movie, and I have to say, most people I talk to liked the movie, except, of course, you, Brian. But do you know anybody else who doesn't like it?
I know a lot of people that didn't like the movie, and there happen to be people that work in the wine industry that felt that they got compromised because everybody went out, they wanted to drink Pinot Noir, so it was, it became an out-of-stock item, and the producers who mass produce wine and have a lot in tank. They don't bottle everything that they, you know, that they sell immediately. You know, stuff stays in tanks and then they bottle another batch and bottle another batch. Well, as wine was flying off the shelf after that movie, they started thinning out Pinot Noir and putting other things in it to stretch it so that, you know, they could still call it Pinot Noir. And in some cases, we discovered that there was wine out there that, you know, wasn't even 75% Pinot Noir, and they were calling it Pinot Noir. So
well, they called
they
big,
really
big Kahuna
compromised
called
themselves.
Wine. Big Kahuna is called wine, and it's, what's the percentage of grapes that they have in those bottles?
Well, if they have a varietal on it, and it's made from an area where you're required to have a certain percentage of grape in the wine to put the varietal name on it, they have to have that percentage. But, you know, a lot of people get away with stuff. But the thing is that a lot of producers compromise themselves, and I felt like cheated the consumers of Pinot Noir because the movie created such a craze for Pinot Noir that they couldn't supply it. You know, they were even bringing in, California was bringing in Pinot Noir from other countries. One producer was bringing in stuff from Corsica. They were labeling it on the bottle somewhere that, you know, she was from the Isle of Corsica, you know, but it was being brought in because they didn't have enough wine to put in bottles. So that standpoint, that's why I had problems with the movie. You know, it was entertaining. I didn't think it was a great movie.
All right, Miles, so you're happy to get it off your chest?
Yes, and stop calling me Miles. Otherwise, there is going to be some havoc.
All right, and that's our segue, talking about the wine industry. Last week you mentioned, since this is the harvest time for the vineyards and the big deal in the wine industry, you wanted to talk a little bit about the harvest and all about the wine industry. So you've got about 5 minutes to just spread your knowledge, which that should take about two. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yours is about a half a second, but anyway.
I probably agree.
Thanks for that vote of confidence.
You're welcome.
You know that this is harvest time, and harvest usually starts, depending on the grape and depending on the area you're in, harvest starts anywhere from, say, mid-August to mid to even late October.
Okay.
And it's the most important part of, you know, wine production, because, I mean, if you don't harvest grapes and you don't harvest decent grapes, you're not going to have wine, except for the, you know, the kind of stuff that you like to drink. but you know, so harvest is really a touchy time. Temperatures, you know, the climate, the weather, everything has to be really perfect. You know, when you get into that area, and it's a term called veraison. Veraison is at the, you know, at the brink of when grapes start to ripen. And they'll start to change color, or even, you know, white grapes, you'll see a pigment change on them a little bit on the skin. And so they're carefully watching the weather because they want the sun at the right time of the day. They don't want rain because rain's going to rot these, you know, beautifully mature grapes that now need to ripen. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and producers and, you know, grape growers, they all are very, very nervous during harvest because everything has to be perfect. But if you harvest grapes that are absolutely perfect, then you've got, you know, you're able to make great wine. Now, there are different ways of harvesting, of course. You have hand picking, and then you have, you know, machine harvesting. And, you know, big producers that have, you know, acres upon acres upon acres, they couldn't even man a workforce of migrant workers big enough to harvest everything. So they do use machines, and they're kind of weird. It's like a tall tractor that straddles the row of grapes, and then has these like fingers inside that kind of shake the grapes loose, and they fall down onto a conveyor and go up and you know, and then they go onto another conveyor and over into another vehicle that's driving alongside. But this is a fun time. This is really a fun time to get out into the country. If you live in an area, you know, that is wine, has wine country, it's really a fun time to get out into the country. And if the wineries are open to allowing you to actually volunteer and get your fingernails dirty, it's great fun. It's a great experience, or at least the wine is open to allow you to observe this process. You know, it's really a fun time of the year. You know, you got the fall foliage and everything, and it's a great time of the year for, you know, for doing this, you know, for seeing this stuff. And of course, it's the most important time for wine.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but there's hundreds of people out there right now saying, you know what, that sounds like something Miles would say.
Oh, jeez.
I warned you.
I know, Ryan, he's pushing it.
I warned you, and I don't know if it's going to be blow up on your Facebook page. Well, I can't really get onto your Facebook page, but I have my ways.
Are you done with your wine harvest story?
I'm done. I mean, I'm completely done. And you know what? If you want a new Tonto,
just want you to call me Kemosabe, and we're good.
we can work that out. I can call a few people that will, you know, will be happy to be, you know.
No, there's only one Brian. I got him. You know, I have people. You noticed yesterday, people were fighting over you. Everybody wanted you as a sidekick. Other radio stations.
No, we had someone that was suggesting that was suggesting they wanted someone else as a sidekick.
Oh, I misread.
Yeah, well,
all right,
Mr.
Let's
English
go.
Teacher.
Ari has a story that just blew me away this morning that our ambassador of Facebook is what I call her, by the way. Sunblessed sent me this story, and she's the ambassador of Facebook. Folks, if you don't know who Sunblessed Orchards is, check her out on Facebook. She's the one that basically is behind the scenes that keeps this show on the move, and all we do is just the clowns that come out in the big car, but or little car. She sent this article, and I sent it to Laurie. And Laurie, this is about Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, and this just blew me away. So go ahead, Laurie, tell that story.
Okay, it blew me away too, because the company that produced America's best beer in 1893 will now be Russian owned.
I can't believe it.
I know, I can't either. Russian firm Oasis.
That is
strange. Isn't that something? Russian firm Oasis Beverages made the announcement this week that it will be acquiring the famed American brewery Pabst Blue Ribbon 170 years after the company was first established in Milwaukee.
Unbelievable.
I always think of Laverne and Shirley with this. Pabst Blue Ribbon is the quintessential American brand. It represents individualism and the freedom of expression, all the things that make this country great. The opportunity to work with the company's treasure trove of iconic brands, some of which I started my career selling, is a dream come true, says Eugene Casper, chairman of Oasis Beverages.
I still can't believe it. And they also make the old Milwaukee. They make some other brand. It's just I'm like flabbergasted. If I had $1 gazillion, I'd go make a bid and buy it just because it's like an American icon. I just can't believe it. Of course, Budweiser was sold too to what I think the Germans.
Yeah,
that
to
now.
Belgians.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
yes,
Belgians,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
oh,
you know,
well.
Look, it's like everything else. It's like everything else. Greed and money talks.
Yep.
And. You know, you look at businesses that are sold, and you wonder, how could they sell this business? And especially in the troubling political times we have right now, you know, with Russia, and that's a direction I don't want to go in. Why allow this kind of thing to happen?
Well, yeah,
you know?
I have nothing against Russian businessmen and all that. And we're all in this world in one big happy business world. But this is one that I'm just like, I can't believe the owners of Pabst Blue Ribbon would consider it.
Yeah, and do you? I mean, the article just touched on it, but do you realize how much of a cultural icon PBR is now?
My grandfather drank nothing but PBR. I mean, I saw him drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon from the time I was in diapers, and it's amazing to me. But anyway, that's the story. They're being bought out by the Russians, so I don't know if that's going to mean anything. And maybe all of our cans will be in Russian here soon. I don't know how you say Pabst
Blue
Ribbon in Russian.
We'll have vodka-infused PBR.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right,
potato beer.
I forgot to announce our guest again. I keep forgetting to do that, but we're going to take a break, and our first guest is going to be joining us is Mike from Mike's Hot Honey. This is really cool. I like this idea. I had never heard of it before, and he's coming on to talk about his honey that's infused with chilies, and he's from Brooklyn, so I have a feeling he's probably going to have an accent, Laurie, kind of like yours.
Oh,
and
he's
then,
my neighbor.
And then Chili Beak, they've got a cool spicy roasted chili oil. Jason and Giselle McClure will be joining us after that, and we'll be talking about roasted chili oil, which I don't know what to do with. They sent me a jar, but I'm not sure how to use it, so we'll find that out. And then last but not least, our musical guest, Tara Priest, who's a past guest from 2012, will be joining us to play some music, tell us what's going on in her life. So that's who our guests are. I'm going to take a quick break. Play a little music, and then we'll bring on our first guest, Mike, from Mike's Hot Honey. And, you know, Brian, I know that we have our differences, but I have to play the song. And just remember, like Sister Monica says, hug me like you love me.
Hug me like you love me. Baby, don't you let me go.
Hot all together, and do you have different flavors? No, actually, we just do one flavor at this time. Yep, it's just the Mike's Hot Honey original recipe.
And where can you got it in stores now? I saw on your Facebook page there was a store, I believe, locally in Brooklyn. How's it going in the retail? You got it in retail stores?
Yeah, it's going great. You know, we started in New York and started with, you know, just smaller specialty food stores, cheese shops. We also sell bulk to restaurants. So we started working with a number of restaurants here in the city. And now we're starting to expand to other parts of the country. And, yeah, it's going well.
Now, you're actually – are you at, like, a honey show in New York right now?
No, that was last week. Last week was New York City Honey Week and culminated in the, I believe it was the third or fourth New York City Honey Festival. And it was a great event. It was out on the Rockaway Beach Boardwalk, and we had local beekeepers from around the city so folks could taste honey from every neighborhood. You know, people are starting to raise bees here in the city, so we've got
oh, really?
Rooftop hives. Yeah, it was beekeeping was formally legalized in New York about 4 years ago, so we're starting to see more urban beekeepers here in the city, and it was really neat because we got to taste honey from every different neighborhood.
That's really
and it
cool.
was surprisingly different. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Great event.
In fact, I'm sitting here thinking.
I wonder if
Christo
went to that. Christo Gonzalez. I wonder if he went to it.
I think Christo had mentioned he was had something. He was going there or checking it out. I remember him mentioning it on Facebook, I believe. But here's the part: is this maybe a stupid question, but most of mine are. But there's not a whole lot of flowers in New York. So where do the bees go?
Well, they're going to the parks. You know, they're collecting nectar from flowers on the trees. You know, we've got a fair number of trees. You'd be surprised. You know, it's not as plentiful as bees that are out in rural areas, but you know, Central Park, Prospect Park, lots of the smaller city parks, and then there's a lot of tree-lined streets, and you know, people have flowers and gardens in their backyard. So there's enough nectar to go around.
Now, your product, you say, is that you got it in stores, and people can also buy it on your website, which is www.mikeshothoney.com, and they can get it shipped. You can ship it anywhere. There's no rules or anything, so you can't ship it all over the U.S., right?
That's right. We ship it all over the country and the world.
Cool.
We ship internationally.
Really cool.
So anybody who's listening abroad, please order. You know, it's not cheap. I will say that it's not cheap for international shipping charges, but you know, we'd love to have your business.
So if I was to take some of Mike's Hot Honey and squirt it on my toast, what's it going to taste like? Is it real hot, or is it just sort of a mild hot?
It's pretty hot. I mean, it sort of depends on what types of things you're eating it with, because different foods absorb the heat differently. Like foods with a little bit higher fat content will absorb the heat a little bit more than less fatty foods. But you'll taste the sweetness and the floral notes of the honey first, and then there's about a 1 second delay, and then you hit the heat. The heat sort of comes in a wave and hits you sort of on the back end of your palate.
I'm so curious to try this.
Yeah, me too. That's why I was wondering if you had like, because
right?
I'm a baby when it comes to hot things. I was wondering if you had like
me
a mild, a hot, and like something like would like burn your tongue off type of different of flavors. But it's pretty much the same one, but it's not super hot though, right?
It's not gonna hurt you. I mean, it's hot enough that you'll definitely feel the heat. You'll definitely feel the heat. But you know. I think it falls in a nice range for where it can appeal to people who like spicy foods, but it's usually not so hot that people who aren't daredevil spicy food eaters can't handle the heat.
Now, Mike,
I have a question.
Brian always has to ask a question. If I don't let him ask a question. He gets very upset with me. So, Brian, do you have
no,
any questions?
No, I don't.
Mike?
Well, all right. My comment first is that I actually have done a little honey infusing. I've done herbs and, you know, I've done like herbs and cayenne. Now, like rosemary and cayenne. Now, I've always cooked the herbs into the honey. Do you do a different process?
Well, we do a low heat infusion process. We don't heat over 130 degrees.
Right.
And that retains the nutritional benefits of the raw honey that we use. Because we use raw honey in our products. We don't like to heat it very high because then you start to lose, you know, if you say you're living in New York and you've got allergies, if you eat raw local honey, you can expose yourself to some of the pollen that's in the air through eating raw honey, and then you can build up a tolerance, and it generally helps with allergies. So we try to make sure that our product is not heated to a point where we lose those benefits.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've always done slow cooking anyway, and also it just sort of turns to, you know, it kind of turns to sugar and stuff.
Right, you don't want the honey to caramelize.
Caramelize, yeah. I was just curious to know whether you were, you know, if you were using that kind of process.
Well, it
and is your local? Is your honey local? Yeah.
Yeah, so we work with a local apiary that is based in New York. They have hives in upstate New York, western New York, near the Thousand Islands region, and around New Jersey. So we're using local raw honey sourced from New York and New Jersey.
Yay.
That's great.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you joining us and talking about your hot honey. And everybody check it out. He calls it Sweet Heat, and you can find him at mikeshothoney.com. Sounds like a really unique product. I'm going to have to try it out, even though, like I said, I'm a baby when it comes to heat. But thank you for joining us. And if you come out with any new flavors of honey that you want to talk about later on, you're always welcome to come back on the show.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, everybody, check out his website.
Take care, Mike.
And, you know, go get yourself some Mike's Hot Honey. It sounds very interesting. I got to try that out. I'm going to take a real quick break, and then we'll bring on our next guest. We're on a hot topics today. Our next guest is from Chili Beak, and they've got that spicy roasted chili oil that we'll be talking about. I'm going to take a real quick break. Oh, man. Blog Talk Radio, by the way, Brian, has changed up the format on our studio, and I can't even figure out how to run music. I mean, you thought it was bad before. You should see it over here now. But anyway, I'm going to play a quick ad, and we'll be right back.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, it is the ultimate cooking experience. Get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Punch in your zip code. Find a dealer near you. I have not been out playing with my Big Green Egg. That sounds kind of funny. But haven't been playing with my Big Green Egg for a week now. This is weird. I usually grill two or three times a week. But Laurie and I have been so busy. She's been in Jersey. I've been busy doing other business stuff, you know, the real job stuff. And anyway, today we're going to do some... I guess we're going to do hot thighs, and what else did you buy us, Laurie, at your trip to Walmart? I don't even remember.
Oh, I bought the pork. I think I bought some kind of pork chops or something, I forget. And what else? I bought a chicken.
So I guess we're going to have chicken and pork, which is my specialty on the Big Green Egg. And
yes,
Big Green Egg.
I have a suggestion for you if you want to test out the honey.
Yeah.
Is instead of doing a barbecue sauce, you can put a little bit of that honey on the meat and then put it on the Big Green Egg.
But you know, I've actually done that. When I do a ham, I usually cover it in honey. So it'd be interesting to take Mike's hot honey and put it on the ham. That would kind of give it like a little a pop. But I like putting honey on chicken and also on hams when you cook on the big green egg. So
I mean, it's definitely going to diffuse all that heat, you know, that you would get from it in a more
definitely.
Raw state, you know, just by basting it.
Good for him and Nate, because we're not, you know, we're babies when it comes to hot stuff like that with flavors.
And speaking
of
that,
I'll have to make you some herb infused honeys.
Well, wait till you hear these folks.
Maybe
now,
for Christmas.
Talking about heat, now these folks that we got coming on next, this is coming to Jason, and I think it's Giselle McClure. They have a product that is hot, let me tell you.
They sent you a sample, yes.
And it's called Chili Beak, and if everything's working right this morning, we should have both Jason and Giselle.
Yes, it is.
Hey guys, welcome to the show.
No, thank you so much for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, I got your product. Say hi to Brian and Laurie, by the way.
Hello,
hey.
Brian and Laurie.
Hey,
hi,
Laurie.
Someone on a speakerphone? I'm getting a lot
of
feedback.
Yeah, actually, are you guys on speakerphone? We're getting a feedback.
Yeah, hold on
one second. If you are, go on a regular, put it on non-speaker. But anyway, Chili Beak. I got your product in the mail, and I have been so busy I haven't even been grilling the past week. But I have to say, when I opened it up, now, and keep in mind, as you heard, if you were listening in a minute ago, I am a total baby when it comes to heat and hot sauces and things like that. But I took a whiff of it, and it kind of took my breath away, and I tasted it, and it's pretty hot. So I wanted to find out for you guys, first of all, like, how'd you come up with Chili Beak and this spicy roasted chili oil, and then me as a baby, how am I supposed to use it?
Well, it's a good question, and we find it's amazing how diverse people's taste buds are for spicy. We really tried to hit a medium heat on that. The inspiration actually came, Giselle's from Mexico, and down there they use it quite often in mariscos or like seafood. And so we were down there, you know, her family's all living there, and I was down there for years, and we started eating it, and we liked it. And we would buy some and bring it back to us to the States when we were living here. And we would run out, and we're like, well, now what? How do we get more? We're just not going to be for another year before we go back to Mexico. So then we figured, you know, we better figure out how to make it. So then we started testing it, fell in love with it even more once we figured out how to make it better than the recipes we found in Mexico. And then we decided we should figure out how to start selling it.
Okay, and the answer, like, how much do you need to use, it just depends. I mean, that's why you can use a little bit of the oil and start from there. And if you want to, like, to add more heat to your food, you just, like, grab the whole spoon and grab, like, the paste that is at the bottom. That's why, like, you need to stir. But for us, it's like we consider that as, like, a medium heat. And the funny thing is just, like, a lot of people who have tried that, it says it's not very spicy. So
yeah,
it's like,
to
whoa.
Me it's spicy. It seems concentrated, and I guess it's because it's in the kind of the oil form, and you kind of got to stir it up. It reminds me of, like, the natural peanut butter when you buy that, and you've got to kind of mix it up because, I'm not a real hothead when it comes – well, I am a hothead, but when it comes to food, I don't put a lot of heat on my food. And it's a very interesting product. So how do most people – I mean, how do you use it? When you said, you know, you were getting it and then you started the company, what's the best way to use it? Do you have any suggestions on using the product?
Well, we start using it a lot, in seafood, but also, like, we love quesadillas, so we start using it in there. We love to use it in rice as well, burgers, pizza is one of our favorites. But, yeah, the funny thing is, like, I wasn't really good eating a spicy food, even though I'm from Mexico, but I kind of, like, train my taste buds, and now I can, like, handle the heat better and better. So, but yeah, you can start with just, like, a few drops on top of your pizza or your fried rice, and from there you start kind of, like, getting used to, because you really get addicted to this oil. I mean, it's really good.
Now, Jason, I saw your video when you introduced your product, and what a cool video, by the way. People, if you want to find out more about them, you can find them on chilibeak.com. But what a cool video that you guys came out with. It was well done, and it was the introduction. And you just introduced this, like, what, about 3 weeks ago?
three or four weeks ago?
Exactly, yeah. 3 weeks ago today is when we first launched the product. And it's been so much fun getting into stores, you know, working on websites and building all the marketing. But we know that for us, when we first started, like we said, we didn't eat a lot of it. We use, like, probably like you will start off with, we use very, very tiny amounts of it. And now we literally do, like, tablespoons on our food because it we just love the flavor of it. It enhances pretty much anything we put it on. We really haven't found too many dishes we don't like it on yet.
So you sort of do that the same way I did my alcohol. I started off with just a small amount, and now I drink tons of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, in fact, we are trying to create a recipe for Bloody Marys with chili.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go.
Lori likes that
one. I can see that working.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Bloody Marys. I'm not a big drinker, but I like Bloody Marys. Sometimes they're refreshing.
Yeah,
right,
no,
now,
me neither, but I feel like this is really good.
Let me ask you guys, Chili Beak, how did you? I get the chili part, but where did you come up with the name Chili Beak?
Well, in Mexico, we call the chili that we use is chile de árbol, and it's called, like, the bird's beak because it looks like a beak. So we started, like, playing around with the words, and I was like, okay, when you eat something spicy, your mouth is spicy, so your mouth is similar to the beak. So we, from there, we start like, oh, chili beak. Okay, there you go. So.
You know what? You're right. It looks like a bird beak. Now that I'm looking at over at your Facebook page, and you're right, it does have the look of a beak, like on a bird. So I can see, now I see it. Okay. So you guys, have you got any orders from any retail stores at this point?
Right now, we are just, like, selling locally to some stores here in Salt Lake City. And we just have a meeting at Whole Foods, but we really need to do some paperwork. And, yeah, we are starting from there. And we are doing, like, farmers market. We are ready to go to other festivals out of state, so... Yeah, we are super ready. And just online, our orders.
Is it all natural? You said you got to fill out the paperwork for Whole Foods. Believe me, I've been there, done that, and oh, my God. It's
you
got to reams and reams of paperwork. But is it all natural?
Exactly. Yeah, we use it's five very, very simple ingredients. Sunflower oil, which we chose over, like, soy or canola. We just consider that a much healthier oil. And it actually, I think, has a smoother flavor as well. We use dried chilies, chili de árbol being one of them. However, we have two other chilies that we don't disclose just to help our recipe stay protected. We've got toasted sesame oil. I know, right? We don't want to give it all away. Toasted sesame oil gives it that kind of nutty flavor that you'll pick up when you start to use it. A salt that is local to Utah. We want to keep it as local as we can. And then garlic. So it's very, very simple ingredients. It naturally preserves itself. The chilies, you know, you see them hanging from people's doors and stuff all the time, and they just, like, they last forever. Oil lasts for about a year as well. So it naturally preserves itself, so it doesn't even need refrigeration, which is great.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I noticed that you said that it didn't have to be refrigerated, which surprised me. So it's the oil that makes it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And, you know, we kind of, when... Living down in Mexico, actually, before I even moved down there, I decided I need to learn how to eat spicy food because, you know, Mexico, they love spicy as well. And
right.
Over the years of getting into the salsas in Mexico, they don't use vinegar in a lot of their salsas. It's just, like, fresh, natural stuff, and I love the flavor of it so much better than the vinegar-based and usually tomato-based salsas that we can get here in the States. And so when we discovered this, we were like, man, this is so much smoother. It just tastes so much better than a vinegar-based hot sauce that uses the vinegar to preserve. And we were like, you know what? I'm tired of the vinegar-based ones, like the Tabascos and the more common ones you see. And that's when we decided to really pursue this because it just appealed to us on a foodie level. We liked it a lot better than the sauces that were out there.
Well, I'm going to take some of it today. We're going to have chicken thighs on the big green egg, and I'm going to take some of them, and I call them hot thighs, and I'm going to take and make some hot thighs using the chili beak oil just to see what it's like, and if it's too hot for me, I'll give it to my neighbor because he eats everything that's super hot.
Oh, he loves it. Yep.
I can't wait to try it out. And what we'll do is we'll do that this afternoon, and we'll post something on Facebook to show that the product, and I'll give you feedback. But just keep in mind, I'm a baby, so when it comes to heat, I mean, beyond the jalapeno, forget it. I'm done. So, and even jalapeno, I have a hard time with. So, but Brian's being very quiet.
Yes, sir.
But I always have to make sure that he doesn't have any questions up his sleeve. Do you have anything you wanted to ask the Chili Beak folks?
No, actually, I had a question, but he answered it before I asked. Because I saw the pictures of the sunflower seeds, and I was going to ask whether he was using sunflower oil or if the seeds had a different role in the sauce. So.
Well, it sounds like an interesting – and do you still have that video running, Jason?
Yeah, actually, in about 45 minutes, the video is going to be reposted, one of the videos, but it is on our website.
Okay.
So you can go on to Facebook. Actually, sorry, it's on our Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/chilibeak, then you can scroll through the posts and you'll find the videos that we've put in there. We have them in Spanish and in English for those who want to see both options.
Well, it's a cool video, and everybody check out their product. Did you say you wanted to make some kind of announcement on the show about a special?
I do, yes. Yeah. So right now, this weekend, we're actually offering 20% off of our retail price. However, we want to offer something special for your listeners, an additional 20% off of that.
Wow.
So if you go onto our website.
Wow.
I know, right? We,
that's really nice.
Actually, sorry, it's 25%, so that's even nicer.
Oh, it even got better.
So if you go on to chilibeak.com, we have some great deals running this weekend. Like Mike said earlier, shipping can kind of be expensive. So we understand that, and we decided to take on that cost for you guys and give you some discounts because we really want people to discover how amazing Chili Beak is. Like, literally, it's not like anything out there on the market that we see. And products that are similar, just in our opinion, not as good.
Yeah, we want to have Chili Beak in every single dining table.
Well, I hear you on that. We want everybody to listen to our radio show. We'd like to. We'll join you on that idea. Now, that's a great idea. Now, is there a special code that they have to punch in to get the special 25% discount?
Exactly. So, in honor of you and your radio show, we just called it Grill. So there's a discount code right when you get to checkout. Just type in Grill. It should apply the 25% discount. If
cool.
not, just send us an email. We'll figure out how. And it's only good for the first 50 people.
So we
want to encourage you guys to jump on this offer while it's available.
I would also say that if they're not listening to the show, they're not going to know that there's a deal.
Exactly.
True. They got to be listening to the show. And we do the replay, and they'll have – how long does this last? Did you say to the first 50 people? So the first 50 people, that after that, that's it.
Yeah, so this weekend, or actually for 1 week, we have our 20% off, and then you guys will have the 25% off. So it brings
exactly.
it down pretty low.
It sounds like it. Everybody who's listening, go check out their website, chilibeak.com, and we've got it on our website here on the show. You just click, and it'll take you to their website. Check out their deal. Punch in the code GRILL. You can get the extra 25% off. And we appreciate you guys coming on and wish you the best. And if you ever come out with something new in the Chili Beak line, you're always welcome to come back on and tell everybody about it.
Excellent. Yeah. We will do that. And we'll make a lighter, less spicy version just for you.
sounds good. All right. Well, thanks, Jason, Giselle. We
thanks,
appreciate
guys.
You joining us.
All Thank
right,
you.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Right,
have a good day.
Bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, check out their website. It's right there, Chili Beak, easy to find. Go check out their deal they got on for the first 50 people. What a deal. Right, Brian? Brian's probably scrambling right now to go get some, aren't you, Brian?
Oh, hey, I've got lots of different chili oils in my house. And
well,
you know what?
To add one more.
And you know what? You can throw me under the bus all you want, but you're such a wuss.
Uh-oh. Yes,
not because of the sauce. Okay, hot to death.
Hey, I can't be tough on all things.
Hey, at least now I know I don't have to worry about inviting you to my house for dinner because I make spicy food.
Well, guess what? I probably wouldn't come anyway, so there you go.
Well,
I will.
I knew you wouldn't. Laura, you're welcome anytime.
You guys have a tickle fight. All right,
one
I'm
of these days, my life settles.
Yeah, well, like, that'll be a while. All right, let's see here. I want to play a little music, and then what time is it? 12:20. Hey, Brian, do you have any other food news stories? Or, Laurie, get one ready, because after I play the music, we're going to have a few minutes before our next guest, so look up something that's interesting. Everybody
well, I
be...
sent one to Laurie, so.
She's got it. All right. Well, I'm going to play a song of a past guest named Chip Wilson, and it's appropriate song for this show. It's called Eat, Eat, Eat. We'll be right back.
About her appetite, so she eats everything she sees. I'm not worried about her feeling right, as long as she leaves something for me. She likes spicy, she likes sweet, all she do is eat, eat, eat. She makes any old lucky dog feel like a girl's best friend. She eats off the low part of the hog, right on up to the high end. She likes greens, she likes meat, all she do is eat, eat, eat. She's not exactly overweight, but neither is she underfed. You wanna make the girl feel good, give her a double helping of a hot bread pudding. Give the girl some good seafood, if you wanna make her feel real nice. A bowl of gumbo puts her in the mood, if you will follow it with shrimp and rice. Etouffee with crawfish meat, all she do is eat, eat, eat. Hot bread pudding. Give the girl some good seafood if you want to make her feel real nice. A bowl of gumbo puts her in the mood if you follow it with shrimp and rice. Etouffee with crawfish meat, all she do is eat, eat, eat. Drinks her coffee extra sweet, all she do is eat, eat, eat.
And there you go, and we are back, and we've got about 6 or 7 minutes before our next guest, our musical guest, Tara Priest, joins us. And Laurie, do you have a brief food news story?
I have something else. I know the link, Brian, you sent me the link, but I wasn't able to. I had to get off the computer because I can't be on the internet when Brilliant's doing
God,
the show.
Are you scrolling down? Are you scrolling down again?
No, no, no. I wasn't able to go onto the link and copy it because I couldn't. I had to get offline so he could bring up the show. But I do have something I wanted to say about Angela Price, who was on our show recently.
Oh, yeah.
From the Black Cake Company. She sent us 2 samples of her cakes. And let me tell you, oh, my goodness. They were, it's butter. It's like eating. They were so moist and delicious. I know, Brilliant, you like, she has 2 cakes. One's brown and one's black. And I actually liked the brown cake better. You liked the black cake better. But it's just a preference. But I did want to give her a shout out and give her a website. So if people want to go and send like a corporate gift or just as a gift or just for themselves, this stuff is amazing.
It is excellent. And it's just like you could taste, talking about tasting the rum. She said that she,
that's what
when she's on our show,
she marinates the fruit for 6 to 8 months in rum.
Unbelievable.
So if you like rum.
We talked about that. I remember we talked about that when she was on.
Yeah.
My mother makes one
for
my
father. Really good. Sorry, Brian. We were going to send you some, but we ate it all.
Look, you know what? I'm a second class citizen to you anyway, so I never even expect anything. You
don't
sent me,
give yourself
you,
so much credit.
Your idea of sending me something to enjoy is you sent me soap to clean up my act.
Hey, Laurie, what is her website?
It's www.blackcake.com. Very simple, blackcake.com. And then there's a phone number if someone wants to call. It's 888-740-6376.
Yes, and it's excellent.
It was delicious. And I'm telling it was very unique. I don't know how to describe it.
I don't either. It's like, it's kind of like, I was like, it's like a regular cake that's been dipped in rum.
Rum.
And it has fruit in it, like a fruit cake, but it's kind of a combination of all three. Very, very interesting. So I liked it. Check it out.
Yes, I love it.
All right. Guys, I'm going to take another break.
I have that article up if you want to use it, or do we still need time?
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to play. I think Tara's calling in right now.
Okay.
How long of a story is it?
Well, I mean, it's like 10 items, and, you know, it could take too much time once we banter back and forth about it.
If Tara doesn't come through and can't get through for some reason because of our normal technical difficulties, then you might want to have that handy. But I'm going to play one of Tara's songs, which is called Run, and we're going to run right now and play her music, and then hopefully Tara Priest will be joining us. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
Again, don't you know you're tempted?
At the text messages and emails that are going back and forth. But Tara hasn't called in yet. We're trying to coordinate her call into the show. So, hey, Brian.
Yes, sir.
You know that story that had the ten items on it you wanted to talk about? I guess it's your time, buddy.
Do you need me to add some items? Do we need more than 10?
Maybe.
Actually, before I start, I just wanted to let you know, I was just on Tara's website looking at her art. God,
yes.
She is incredible.
Yeah, she talked
her
about
her art
last 2 years ago. She really is really good, and she's. I wanted to find out more about, because she's kind of changed her format and changed her look and gone a different direction, and we don't want to talk about her art and all that, but... She hasn't called in yet, so if she calls in, you can talk about her art.
Well, I will. I'll be happy to. Anyway, so I found this article. I don't know why I keep finding decent stuff in the Huffington Post, because I don't necessarily read that, but it just, you know, it seems to come up. It was the 10 things about instant ramen you'll be embarrassed you never knew. Now, when we were, like, college age, now, I went to a city college, so I lived at home, but, you know, if you went to a college where, you know, you stayed there, you know, we all lived on mac and cheese and things like ramen, you know. Ramen seems to be even more of a craze now, because there's so many different ones out there. But this is just funny. All right, the first one is, the first instant ramen was considered a luxury item in supermarkets. I'm thinking it was expensive then. It says, although today it's considered a college staple and something you eat if you're broke, instant ramen used to be quite expensive in Japan.
Really?
All right. Whatever.
Boy.
So much for those 10-cent packages of ramen I used to get.
I know. I lived off it, so it's not good for you.
For me, it wasn't college. When I left home and I was living on my own, I lived off of ramen. Anyway, number two, it's the best-selling item at Rikers Prison. Really?
You know what they do? They use it. They use. They tie. They put it together. They probably use it to try to cut
the
bar.
They make rope.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The flavor pack has got so many chemicals in it. It might eat the bars.
It probably would.
The prison wall. But apparently, the commissary at Rikers Island in New York needs to always make sure it is stocked up on cup of noodles.
Wow.
They sell them for 35 cents. Now, I ask you, if you're in prison, how do you have a place to make hot water? If you can make hot water, if you can make heat, you can also probably use that heat as some sort of a weapon. So why are they giving prisoners the ability to make heat in their cell?
I actually think they allow them to have, like, hot water to take showers and stuff. So they probably have a kitchen, I would imagine.
Anyway, number three, only the oriental and chili flavors of Nissin Top Ramen are vegetarian. Well, who cares? I mean, I if I'm eating ramen, I'm not worried about whether I'm being a vegetarian or not. Number four, some people, like here's a chef, his name is David Chang, like to eat ramen without even cooking it. And let me tell you, we have to post the link to this article, because the article has these interactive little videos for all
right.
of these items and pictures and videos, and they're really, some of them are hysterical. And this guy is like sprinkling the flavor pack over the noodles and just eating it.
No.
I mean, I wasn't that desperate when I left home.
Hey, what number are you on, Brian?
I'm on number 4.
Well, save
Why, do we
the
have,
rest
is she
of
calling
them.
In?
Yeah, this is riveting radio, I know, for everybody, but I think we actually have Tara Priest calling in, so you have to save that for another time. People are just
we'll
like,
save
oh,
them.
Man, we want to hear the rest of it.
we'll save them. No problem.
All right. Save them. All right. I think we have Tara Priest calling in. We played her song a little while ago called Run, and let me push this button. And hopefully we have Tara. Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are, Tara. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Hey, how are y'all doing?
We're doing all right. Welcome back. We weren't sure if we were going
to
see
you
or not.
Great to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, nice talking to you. Okay, Tara, I got to ask.
Okay.
2 years ago, you were on our show. You seem to have changed your direction, as the fancy word goes, the genre of your music. Am I right or wrong?
Well, not necessarily the genre. I've done some different things, you know, since then. The album was kind of typical Nashville, you know, what was wanted at the time. And I was kind of pushing a certain direction or kind of steered. But
right.
and I've just experimented with different genres. I like to sing it all, blues and, you know, I've done a lot of gospel lately, actually, too. I've sang in a Christian band this past year.
Cool. Now, you've also changed your look a little bit. I think 2 years ago, I can say you look more like country, and I think you look more like rock and roll now is the best way I can describe it.
That is very observant because, yes, I had really long hair, and I went through some life changes, and I said, chop it off, and I wanted it cut really edgy. So you're right on that. I did want an edgy look, and now I'm letting it grow back out. And I'm like, where's my hair? I want my hair back. But
you're beautiful, shorter, long hair. You're beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Y'all are so sweet. Thank you.
So you've got an album out. And what's the album called?
It's called Tara Priest.
Well, that's a good
name.
And
yes, that's it. It's self-titled. And I'm promoting
people,
it again, because I'm actually working on a tour right now. So.
Oh, really? Well, good for you. And if people want to find your music, they can find it. They can go to your website, which is terrapriest.com. We have a link here on the show. But I guess they can also find your music on CD Baby and all the other places.
Yes, iTunes, you name it, Yahoo Music, all of those websites that you can download from, you can get it on. Amazon, I've used Amazon before, but iTunes is my favorite.
Get it anywhere and everywhere. Now,
if we were
talking, before you came on live, Brandon and I were chatting about your art, and we talked about that 2 years ago. You've got some great art, and I know Brian was looking at your website. Go ahead, Brian, talk about her art, because you said you were looking at
it. Hey, first of all, I want to tell you, your art is fantastic, and every time I think about, you know, Brilliant and the radio thing, I always think, don't quit your day job. But you're so multi-talented. You've got the music, you've got the art, you got 2 day jobs. But actually, I always wonder with people that like to do the two different things is which is your release from the other? Is the art, you know, your therapy from music, or is music your therapy from the art, or do they sort of work together?
Well, I'm gonna be honest. Both are an escape for me. Both are therapy for me.
That's great.
Yeah, and I actually went a long time. You have to, any artist knows, you have to be inspired. I mean, you can't just, I don't know, it's something that's inside that has to come out, and it comes with emotion. And if you don't have that right away, there's really not going to be able to create anything amazing. But I'm actually an insurance agent, too. So with that job, it gets a little stressful. So those music and art are my releases, but now music got a little too serious for me after a while. It's just like a job too when you take it, when you're trying to really pursue it. You've got band members, you know, that quit and come and go, and it's just, there's some stress with it. So it got to that point, and I kind of said, wait, hold on. now I'm at a point where I'm just having a blast with it. You know, I'm just really, it's just what it's inside of me, and I'm going with it. Whatever happens, happens.
Well, that's great. I mean, I spent over 25 years in the music business, and, you know, my releases were cooking and other things, and now I'm in the wine industry, and my and the stuff that I do to relieve stress is cook and play music.
And he's also on the radio show as my sidekick. And like you said, don't quit your day job, Brian. But hey, Tara, we're gonna play another one of your songs. It's called "Angels Cry," and is that on the it's on the Tara Priest album?
It is. Yes, it's number 2 on the album.
It's a good song. Let's play that and come back and chat a little bit further about what you're doing, where you're headed, and what plans you have for the future. Everyone hang tight. This is Tara Priest, and the song is called "Angels Cry."
Married Thank you.
Everybody here with me. I thought I lost you all there for a second. So,
yes.
We're here.
What are you?
Music.
What are you up to now, Tara? Where are you headed? Are you still in Mississippi?
I am. People love Mississippi, home of Elvis. That's what it's best known for anyway. And I'm back and forth to Nashville a good bit lately too.
So you got big plans, or are you heading to the big leagues in Nashville?
Well, this past year it was interesting. Like I said, when I kind of let go and let God, I mean, for lack of a better word, just kind of just chilled out about it, you know, and just started to really enjoy it. Well, some people came into my life that by chance, long story, I won't go into how they found me and all that online basically, but Danny Raspberry, he is an insurance producer / music mogul. I know it's crazy I found someone that's into both of them like I am, but he is, and he is putting on a tour. It's called the American Legacy Tour, and it's featuring Ronnie McDowell. And
wow.
So at right now, at this present moment, I've already done two shows with Ronnie, one in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and one in Birmingham, Alabama. And he's awesome. I absolutely love him. He's one of the sweetest people I've met in the industry and amazingly talented, too. So he is a legend, and he's actually letting me sing Unchained Melody on this tour. So he actually went number one with it in 87. So I'm honored to do that song for him.
Wow.
And then... So the tour kicks off November the 6th, this American Legacy Tour, and we're going to go all around the South. There's nothing planned for, you know, anywhere but around the South as of now, but who knows what could happen. And there's going to be a bunch of other acts, too, on there that are really talented, all from Nashville. So I've been going back and forth and doing some recording and meeting with the other acts, and it's just going to be, I can't wait.
It
really
sounds like everything's going your way. That's exciting, and congratulations for the success and this legacy tour. I'm sure you'll be posting more about it on your website and Facebook,
yes,
et cetera. But I'll mention your website again, which is kind of easy to remember, just like your CD. It's www.tarapriest.com. And I just really appreciate you taking time to be on our show again and keep us posted. Do you have a new CD up your sleeve, or are you just out there on the road right now?
Well, right now we're just kind of working on doing the road, but I am working on some new songs. And then when I get those done, then I'll go back in the studio and cut those vocals. But I haven't done anything yet because, like I said, I've been working on my live performance again. So yes, I'll be posting, and I have a Reverb Nation page also. A lot of people, you can sample, you can listen to the songs on there before buying. So that's another good way. Just search Tara Priest on Reverb Nation. That's a good outlet for musicians as well. Cool. And then also, yeah, on Facebook. Find me on Facebook. I mean, that's my favorite way to promote. But I'm doing a lot of promoting for this tour. You know, I'm going to go on a couple of TV shows and do a lot of interviews. And I'm in charge of the Tupelo show for promoting it and marketing it. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, congratulations. Sounds like it's all going great, and keep us posted. And we appreciate you taking time to be on the show today. And you're always welcome. And I have to ask you before you go, I'm going to play the song. I think it's a Rihanna cover, the California King Dead. I'm going to play that next, and everybody will get a kick out of that song. It's a pretty interesting song. And thank you for joining us, and you're welcome anytime.
Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care. I'm going to play that song, and then we'll come back and close out the show. This is California King Dead, Tara Priest, and we'll be right back.
Chest to chest, nose to nose, palm to palm, we were always just that close. Wrist to wrist, toe to toe, lips that felt just like the inside of a rose. How come when I reach out my fingers, like more than distance between? dawn with a curtains drawn and a last night on these sheets. How come when I reach out my fingers like more than distance between us? In the cowboy's hole, the king's head within a thousand miles apart. How in cowboy's hole, within all these stars, dust, coffee, my California king.
Forgot to ask her if she liked ramen noodles, Brian.
Well, we'll save that for the next time, too.
Anyway, check out her website, terrapriest.com. You can find her music and more about her in that tour on November 6th, the American Legacy Tour. So we're almost out of time, guys, and it's been a great show. We appreciate all of our guests, Mike's Hot Honey. Check him out at mikeshothoney.com. The Chili Beak people, Jason and Giselle, we thank you. And your spicy roasted chili oil at www.chilibeak.com. And, of course, Tara. Priest, I want to mention, too, don't forget, we have a show tomorrow night with our good buddy Albert, the Untamed Chef, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And then also Tuesday, we've got our Deaf Conversations show with John Dilley. It's all about the hot sauce business. Our show was kind of all about hot sauce today, too, all things hot. And then our last, not last, but last show, but the other show is Christo Gonzalez, Chef Christo show. And he has an excellent show. He talks, he really explains how to cook things and gives really good cooking tips. And if you haven't heard
it's
it, that's
excellent.
On Wednesday morning. It's excellent. Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock. And so check out our shows. We've got a few more in the works. I've been talking to Anna Green Gardens about starting her show very soon, and a couple of surprises in the works, but we're getting there slowly but surely. And of course, I like to always ask this question: do you have anything to add, Brian, before we sign off?
Well, one thing would be that if you're going, you know, if I've used a joke on you on the air, you can't turn around and then use it on me. It's just not funny.
Well,
so if I tell you not to quit your day job, you can't turn around and tell me not to quit my day job.
Oh,
you know,
well,
you got to come up with fresh material.
Oh, you're one to talk, dude.
You know,
you wore out the whole armadillo thing till it
armadillo.
Was just like.
Well, but I'm not using it anymore, am I?
Yeah, you're not.
There you go.
That's
you
right.
just mentioned it again. No, the only thing I have to add is it's fall, and I say go out there, go apple picking. It's the best time of year. And, you know, go out and enjoy this beautiful weather.
It really is beautiful.
And have a great day.
Yes, aww, definitely. And Laurie, you know, we always know what your answer usually is, but Laurie, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I have nothing to add.
Nothing?
No. Nope. Nothing.
Oh, well. I will mention that, speaking of Laurie and I, we did last week go to see Jimmy Charles at the after party. For the Zero Cancer Society, and that was a great show, and he did a fantastic job. And I actually want to close out today's show with his new song Superman, which is about cancer and zero cancer. What a great guy! We finally got to meet. He's really super nice. He's been a big supporter of our show, and just very nice to finally meet somebody that you hear all the time. We've talked several times, but he was a super nice person. And Laurie even gave him some pound cake. He never told you how good your pound cake was, did he?
I did give him some pound cake. Like I'm on his mind.
No, your pound cake is. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday. Same place, same time. And check out our other shows during the week, and we will see you next time. And this is Jimmy Charles.
Cheers,
Superman.
Guys.
Have a nice weekend.
Take care.
I'm up every morning, the best shape of my life. I'm everything to my three kids, I love her to my wife. Still run 5 miles when I get home, play pickup at the Y. So why's this doctor telling me should be scared for my life? And I didn't want to come here, I swear I'm feeling fine. So you say I got cancer, man, I say you lost your mind. It's the hardest thing I'll ever do, swallow my pride, face the truth, go through hell, feel the fear, and praise the Lord that I'm still here, and I've still got more miles here on this road, and now I'm here to help you all understand that you can't fight this battle. Superman. I struggled through the treatment, I fought hard through the pain. There were days where I would give up hope and give God all the blame. Then I thought of all I had to lose, I saw my family. Then it finally all hit home. Swallow my pride, face the truth, and go through hell, feel the fear, and praise the Lord that I'm still here. I still got more miles here on this road, and now I'm here to help you all understand that you can't fight this battle on your own. You ain't Superman. Your pride, face the truth. you'll go through hell, you'll feel the fear, but if you press on, you'll still be here. But you still got more miles here on this road, and I hope that you can understand. Brother, you can't fight this battle. No one's Superman.